عن معاذ رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أخذ بيده يا معاذ والله إنا أحبك ثم أوصيك يا معاذ لا تدعنا في دبر كل صلاتي اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك رواه داود والنسائي بسند صحيح. With Allah Ta'ala's grace and mercy, this Sahih Hadith. I have had the ability and tawfiq to recite in front of you. This subject, according to the subject, is a very important and very beneficial hadith for this majlis, for this gathering. Because we are all, alhamdulillah, with the fadl and karam of Allah, gathered for the dhikr of Allah, and we have no other objective apart from this. And this is a collective gathering, and the objective of this collective gathering is for us to do our islah, rectify ourselves. We can call islah tazkiyah, islah of the qalb, islah of the batin. What is the stance of this? What is its level in Islam? And we see many ahadith on this subject and with regards to tariqah. And what is the way of tariqah? The way of sharia, the way of tariqah. Sharia is that ulum, that knowledge which is linked with the visible and the physical side of our lives. All the ulum with respect to our physical side of life. And rahe tariqah, tariqat is the subject matter with regards to the islah, rectification of our batin, our inner soul, our heart, the ulum we attain for this, and this is the path of tariqah, tariqat. So there's a companion, Hazrat Mu'adh radiyallahu anhu. All of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mashallah, stars and like the moon, and they had their unique rank and status and style and method. But all of the Sahaba, all of the noble companions, radiyallahu anhum, we see that they are muttafiq, and they were great on one thing, on the ishq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They all had this common trait. No one was small or big. Rather, every Sahabi, every companion had a unique style, and every one of them was an ashik. So everyone had unique characteristics and qualities, but the common factor amongst all of the Sahaba was that they were ashiks and lovers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And here we see that he himself is in this hadith, and Hazrat Mu'adh in the history of the ashiks, the lovers, is a very unique example. And after reading this hadith or hearing this hadith or understanding this, that subhanallah, ishq, the love of a Sahabi, and the recognition of his love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stated himself in this hadith. And there's the subject of the hadith and the meaning of the hadith, and in a very beautiful way this hadith has been narrated himself, Hazrat Mu'adh radiyallahu anhu is himself the narrator. And he said in this hadith, subhanallah, he started in this way, that O Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or he said that once there was a beautiful meeting between me and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm just giving you the explanation of this hadith. The meeting between the lover and the beloved, the sheikh and the murid, had a beautiful meeting. He said, let me tell you the meeting, as a Mu'adh radiallahu anhu is explaining. Let me tell you how we met. How I met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That we were alone, and there was nobody else at that time. And in front of me was the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. What a great, great pointer, that my hair stand on end when I read this hadith. Amazing. Subhanallah, isolation and love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah, beautiful feeding. and there was isolation. And the Prophet ﷺ said, I love the Prophet ﷺ and he was with me, and there was no one else, and totally we were alone, nobody in between. And then suddenly what happened is that whoever I loved, the person who I loved, my Mahbubi Adam, the true love I had for the Prophet ﷺ, that I would give my everything, and he came forward. And imagine this, that how close he must have come. Subhanallah. That this is like the explanation in the Quran where Allah Ta'ala says, as close as the bow and the string. He said, the bow and the arrow, on the string on the bow. So then what happened was that he said, Rasulullah suddenly came forward and came close to me, and see then how qareeb, how close, that the Rasulullah took my hand. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Glory be to Allah. And he said that we came so close that Rasulullah took my hand, and he took my hand into his hand. And then can you imagine that Hazrat Mu'adh at that time was conscious and aware of what was happening? Aha, your hand came into my hand, and then all of the path became clear. Subhanallah. And a poet has written in this respect that this is the ashik who knows that when the hand goes into the hand of the sheikh, then the feeling, the emotion and the love and the muhabbat at that time. So he took hold of the hand. Rasulullah took hold of the hand of Mu'adh, and he was close to Mu'adh. Then he said, Awasika, O Mu'adh. Now this is the first part of this hadith. And in here there's a very great message of ma'rifah, of the nearness of Allah. And what has been explained here in this hadith is that when a human being has embarked on the path of tazkiyah, a purification, rectification, then the first thing that the individual does is seek a guide. Seek a guide. We can say light, guidance, you know, the sheikh, the teacher. And the person is the student who's looking for this. And after seeking the sheikh, the teacher, the first thing that is proven from this hadith is that the murid and the sheikh, the most important element between them is love. The important, most important connection between them is love. And if there's no love in between the student and the sheikh, then you cannot continue on the journey of tazkiyah. And the love between the student and the sheikh should be extreme and strong. Our Hazrat stated that not just love, but should be ishq. Ishq, because you have to travel on this path, on this journey, and without love and ishq, deep-rooted passion and love for the teacher, the student cannot progress along this path. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took the hand of Hazrat Mu'adh, and the first thing that Rasulullah said after taking his hand, subhanAllah, something to make a person full of enjoyment and to rejoice. He didn't just take the hand, he said, Ya Mu'adh, Wallahi, Anna Ahibbuka, Allahu Akbar. I swear by Allah, Mu'adh, that I love you. Subhanallah, subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. Imagine this. What will be the hal at that time of Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu anhu? What will be his feeling? The hand of Hazrat Mu'adh has been taken. And Allah's Nabi doesn't just say that I like you. He said, Wallahi, these are the words of the Wallahi, Ya Mu'adh, by Allah, I tell you, Mu'adh, that I love you. Subhanallah. So this is in the path of tariqah, in the path of tasawwuf, in the path of tazkiyah, that if the wali wala starts to love the murid, and the murid loves the wali wala, the sheikh, then when this connection is established between the sheikh and the student, after that everything else will come. Progression comes after that. So remember, we have to remember this point, that after this, the Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the other stages, in other words, the continuation of the path of tazkiyah. So dhikr, adhkar, this comes after the connection with the teacher. The wazaif and dhikr, and the murid will get the benefit, the student of dhikr, adhkar, and he, all of the other levels, when he has love or for his sheikh, for his teacher. And remember this point here, Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I love you. So when the sheikh loves his murid, when the sheikh loves his student, when these two connections are strong, not that the student loves his sheikh, and maybe the sheikh doesn't love the student. And what's the reason for this? Because he doesn't listen to his sheikh, and he doesn't follow his sheikh, he doesn't follow the principles of the sheikh, and what the sheikh tells him to refrain from, he doesn't listen. Whatever the sheikh tells him to do, prescribes, he doesn't listen. or he doesn't come onto the path totally, then obviously the Shaykh will not have no love for the student. The student may continue to love, but he won't get the fares and the benefit. So what is shown here is that the murid should be careful, cautious, obedient to his Shaykh, to his teacher, that his Shaykh automatically should love the student. So this is how much a person has to work hard, and this is the usul, the principle of tariqah, that when we learn ilm and we understand about tariqah, there are many, many principles. For example, when a person becomes an alim, 8 years, 10 years, 12 years it takes, you're studying Bukhari and Imam Malik, Muwatta and Siha Sitta, the 6 hadith kitab or fiqh or jurisprudence, or this kitab or that kitab, ustad comes, another ustad comes, a third ustad comes, many teachers come. So this is visible ilm, but the ilm of the batin, the inner soul, this will complete the physical ilm which we learn, the hadith kitabs and the Quran. So the inner soul, the batini tazkiyah and the tariqah, this is not the effort of the brain, rather it's spiritual effort that takes a person to the heights, because the journey is initiated with the ruh. The ruh, the soul, allows the person to start the journey. So when you are making a link with the teacher, then you have to see first and foremost that will I be able to be compatible with this teacher? Will there be love between me and the teacher? Will I be able to break all my desires and love the teacher so much that the teacher will love me himself? For example, there's a saying of a wali of Allah. They say that, why do you say to your shaykh to do dua? Rather become such a person that the shaykh gives dua automatically for you. He asks dua automatically for you. And this is tasawwuf. This is tasawwuf, the path of purification and cleaning of hearts and souls. That we should be so close to the shaykh that automatically the shaykh does dua from his own mouth for you. And then the hadith tells us, why is there love? And how does this love get established between the student and the teacher? There are many forms of love in the world. Mother with the son with the mother, wife, children, uncle, all these different types of love. But all of these types of love, the standard we have is there's a blood relationship or muamalat or money giving and taking, etc. There'll be some greed, some link in between. And if that greed and that link in between, if we take that out, the factor, then you don't even recognize each other. For example, if there's a mother and a son, if the love of the mother will come out of the heart, or if the love of the mother for the son will come out of the heart, then would she get up in the night to look after the child, etc.? But Allah Ta'ala has instilled into the heart of the mother love, due to which he is forced to love the child, to assist the child. And the standard of that love, Allah Ta'ala is Khabir and Basir. Allah put so much love into the heart that she is prepared to do all of the duties to fulfill, to take care of the needs of the child as much as is necessary. But what is there? That there is some worldly link, there's some worldly relationship. But this love that is being explained, where Rasulullah said to Mu'adh, oh Mu'adh, I tell you for the Wallahi, I love you totally, completely, and there's no, for example, blood relationship between me and you. We have no worldly relationship. But why is there so much love? What's the reason? Because between me and you, there's one thing, and that is Allah. Allah is between me and you. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So this love, there's no relationship, no personal relationship, no blood relationship, no worldly relationship, no kamil shaykh between the shaykh and the student. There's no worldly need, no worldly desire, no money desire. He doesn't want to form a relationship, to break the relationship for the sake of the dunya. There's no dunyawi factor, no worldly factor or demand or desire or element or target or criteria that's presented, where the shaykh says to his murid that I love you because we need to achieve these worldly targets or this reason or that reason. Even if the murid is serving the shaykh so much, but he attains the qurb of the shaykh. But if the shaykh makes this his basis, that, oh, I need benefit from the student, I'm getting something from him, he will help me, I will get assistance, etc., then that spiritual relationship will end, because Allah Ta'ala has come out from in between, and what's replaced it? The dunya, the world. Subhanallah. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. So for this reason, the love between the teacher and the student, which is for the sake of Allah, it overwhelms all the forms of love in the world. And one day when that relationship breaks, when maut comes, all the worldly relationships, what will happen to them? Their greed will finish. Their desire will finish. Those relationships will end because the maut has come, death has come. Doesn't matter how close is the relationship, blood relationship in the world. As soon as death comes, that relationship is broken. But the relationship between the wali Allah and the student, if an individual loves a wali, if two people love a wali of Allah, and in between is Allah, and they love the wali of Allah for the sake of Allah. And why does he love the shaykh? Subhanallah, because for the sake of Allah. That this individual who has come to me, the shaykh says he's come for the sake of Allah. So what fikr does the shaykh have? Subhanallah. Then this hadith runs. In parallel, that the Shaykh Kamil never has a hope, desire that the murid, the student, will benefit me in the world. And nor should the murid have a desire that maybe my Shaykh will love me, then I'll benefit myself in the world. Maybe this is his weak point and I can get his attraction. This is all the route to destruction. Because he cannot be a Kamil Shaykh, a complete Shaykh, if he cannot deliver fares to his murids, if he has a worldly desire in his heart that my murid, my student will benefit me. Or if the student has in his heart a desire that, oh, I want my Shaykh to become close to me, I become his favorite, and people think I'm close to my Shaykh, or they start respecting me, people. Why? Because I'm close to my Shaykh. All of these are worldly desires and attractions, and there's no link to the attraction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no link to the love of Allah and the closeness to Allah. But yes, if there is love in the student's heart for the Shaykh, and it's for the sake of Allah, and if there's love in the Shaykh's heart for the sake of Allah, then that relationship will be strong. And if they have totally a relationship for the sake of Allah, so Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, and the love yet for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Oh Mu'adh, I have love for you. Why is this, Mu'adh?" And he will tell us further in this idea. What is the benefit of this love? Because what is the asal, the genuine love, and why is this love stronger than all other forms of love in the world? Why was it strong? Because in all love there is some, you can say, catch or clues. But the love that is for the sake of Allah, the Shaykh, the teacher, the basis of his love, the criteria of his love for his murid, there'll be no dunya, no worldly criteria. He'll have one basis, one criterion, that the Shaykh will think permanent benefit for the student. And the Shaykh will think that, how do I save my student from hellfire? How do I correct his salah? How do I tell him the sunnah methodology? What method shall I use so I can save my murid from the fire of Jahannam, so he can be saved from bad company, from alcohol, from bad places to go to, and he can leave haram, unlawful actions? Fikr of the Shaykh always with his murid will be this, permanent, ongoing, not for the sake of dunya. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. And this practically, I'm telling you, my friends, that many years, not 1 year, rather half my life, I spent my life with such a Shaykh, half the life. Subhanallah. In between, there was no worldly desire, no worldly criteria. Never did we consider money or £1 or no demand ever for any money at any time when we spoke. When there was communication, when there was discussion, all our life long during our meetings was for the sake of Allah that we met. And I'm practically telling you this for this point, such a Shaykh. But love, alhamdulillah, we had such love, such level of love, totally, that this ajiz, this humble servant, had this situation. The Hazrat Sahib raised his hand and said in the whole gathering that I love this individual, I love this person. And in this history, this did not, I'm telling you this hadith, wallahi, wallahi, O Mu'adh, wallahi, for this, I say by Allah that I love you. As Abu Bakr Sadiq was there, as Umar radiallahu was present that time, as Ali was present. But this message, this is showing us this subject matter, that this is the subject of tazkiyah. This is the subject we have to learn, and this is the principle of this subject. This is the relationship between the Shaykh and the murid. And with this relationship, when a person runs, inshallah, he will never fail in the path of Allah. It cannot be that that individual does not attain fuyuz and blessings from the Shaykh. He doesn't learn the principles, the usul. He doesn't reach to that destination, the ta'limat and the sbaq and the lessons and the progression in spirituality. And destroyed is that murid who has worldly desires. He doesn't listen to his Shaykh. Doesn't have love in his heart, and there's no true love. And if there's love, then there's love for other reasons. But when there's a situation where the Shaykh stands himself and says, "Oh my murid, I love you," then definitely that murid will be very sincere. Then automatically his Shaykh has said to him that I love you. Subhanallah. So how can that student fail? Tell me. So there's a need for effort for the murids, for students. I'm talking about the khalis, the pure people. That I was khalis when I went to my Shaykh, pure. Pure, and I sat there pure, and there has to be sincerity. I left everything of mine. And with the fadl of Allah, my salah was corrected. I was starting to follow the sunnah. And it's not that I became a wali. I didn't become a pious person or a sheikh, no. But what I learnt in the company of my sheikh, I had yaqeen, alhamdulillah, that my grave, inshallah, will have some light in it. There'll be illumination. This is why I learnt his du'as, his focus, his attention, the mu'amalat he told me, the practice to do, the istiqamah that I took hold of. All of this was for this reason. Was for this reason. And all of this was due to Allah Ta'ala's love and due to the principles that Allah Ta'ala has given to us and the connection between me and my Shaykh. And this is tazkiyah. Strength of connection. So the biggest point is what? Love. The love, the status of love, the relationship between the teacher and the student. There should be sincerity, purity, and total, the heart should be clean. of the student and the sheikh's love will come. And then after that comes dhikr, muzaif. If we don't have love between the sheikh and the teacher, that doesn't matter how much dhikr the student does, there'll be no benefit. It's just chilla, just sitting there. When a person says, I'll do this many thousand, this many hundred, I'll do this recitation, that recitation, and this. This is called chilla. This is passing the time. This is not the chilla, the tabliq jama'at chilla. This is those people who sit down, do their wazifas, their dhikr lessons, who do dhikr lessons all day long, recitation, repetition, dhikr, recitation, du'as. But there's no benefit if there's no love between the sheikh and the student. So when this point was made, when Rasulullah made apparent his love for Hazrat Mu'adh, and this was exchanged, this dialogue, then what happened? O seeka ma ya Mu'adh. Subhanallah. Now I will tell you Mu'adh, that my love and your love, the love between us, is for one reason, that I fikr for your akhirah, O Mu'adh. I don't have no greed to take anything from you. I have no requirement, worldly requirement from you. That Allah Ta'ala has announced love between me and you. There's no greed here. What is the reason? That I have one fikr about you, that I love you. I love you. The father loves you, your mother loves you, and they have no fikr for you, for the eternal, long-lasting, but your love, my love, our love between us is permanent. It's not temporary. I don't need money from you. I don't need a worldly items from you. I have a desire and I have a fikr and a worry about your life in this world and thereafter, and I don't want you to go into the hellfire. This is the worry of the teacher. I don't want you to be destroyed, O student. I don't want it that your salah is not accepted. I don't want it that you are wasting your life and living your life in the wrong way. That this is the basis of my love, and tell me what love that must be. What love that must be, what love that must be. That my Hazrat Shaykh, when I saw him, alhamdulillah, he was 80 years old, he sat down, it was extremely cold in Punjab, there's no food at home to eat, and a murid came and knocked on the door, and there was poverty in the house, hunger, but somehow Hazrat prepared some food and bread for the student. I saw it was 12 a.m, 1 a.m, and someone said, somebody's knocked, somebody's come to the Khanqah. And Hazrat Thanvi Ramdai, look at his events and many other sheikhs, that how they used to serve their murids, how they used to love their students, how they had regard for their students. And the murid, they were sadiqeen, they were sincere, who had traveled in the path of Allah. Doesn't matter how much love they had, that they don't want to eat themselves. Hazrat didn't eat himself, his family hadn't eaten. But he arranged food for his murid, and he arranged such delicacy that the murid wanted that time, nice food, on time. Why? Because it's for the sake of Allah that this individual has come, and I have love for my student. And this was real love, tell me. I don't know if we understand this, but all of the loves in the world, Allah Ta'ala says, goes higher than this. Imagine the love in the heart of the mother. The mother who brings up the child. And Allah Ta'ala says, the love in the chest of the mother is transformed into milk. So much love is given to the mother, that suddenly milk is formed. The blood in the chest, in the breast, Allah Ta'ala transforms it, translates it into milk. Imagine the love Allah Ta'ala has put. One, we have the cows and the buffaloes, so much love they have for the mankind that they allow milk to come out of their udders, and Allah Ta'ala has instilled love in the mother's breast as well, that milk comes out. So if the sheikh has love for the student, then imagine the amount of love the sheikh has in the heart for his student at that time. We have examples for this. After that comes success, and that is when the sheikh has worry. First comes love, then the sheikh has worry for the students hereafter. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "O Mu'adh, I'm now coming to the real genuine point, that how will you get goodness in the akhirah? I want to make your akhirah good." So through Hazrat Mu'adh's example, radiyallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given the example to the whole world. People say, why is there necessary tasawwuf, peer, murid, sheikh, student? Listen to this hadith, sahih hadith. I recited this hadith in full in Arabic. Inshallah, it will come in the recording. So listen clearly. Yes, and I spoke it with memory. Look at the kamal of this hadith as well. Subhanallah. So then the Prophet ﷺ said that I have worry for you, O Mu'adh. And the Prophet ﷺ said that this is the worry that I have for you, and this is the reason why I love you, O Mu'adh. Usika, ya Mu'adh, I give you nasiha. La tad'anna fi dubri kulli salati. Now here the message is being given by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the whole ummah. What is tazkiyah? And what do you need to do? What do you need to do? What is you? That my whole ummah, what do you need to do with regards to the love between the student and the teacher? What should the student do? What practice will you have to carry out? What amal? What actions? That after every salah, after every prayer, after every salah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is not some minor statement that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying. Look at the importance of this. Look how essential this has been explained in this hadith. What is the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying? That it's lazim on you, this duty. On every ummati, this is lazim, essential. It is a must. compulsory, like salah and fasting and going on tabligh and ilm and knowledge, etc. So it's lazim on every mu'min, on every Muslim. And it's so lazim that after every salah, 5 times a day, subhanAllah, say subhanAllah. That after every salah, the 5 salah in a day, when an insan prays salah, dubri fi kulli salah. These kalamat, don't forget reciting these kalamat. Don't forget this dua. Allahumma aini ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatika. Subhanallah. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. What a great lesson, great prescription. After all of the salahs in the day, the 5 times salah in the day, this is lazim, essential to recite this. Allah, give me the tawfiq to do your dhikr. Give me the tawfiq to be a shakir, to be grateful to you. And give me ikhlas so that all of my ibadat are attached with ikhlas and sincerity. Subhanallah, mashaAllah. So these 3 things, dhikr, shukr, and ikhlas. These 3 elements, they are linked with who? With your batin, with your inner soul, with your heart. This is no link with the dahir, with the physical body. Where does dhikr go? It penetrates the heart. And where does shukr come from? Gratefulness come from the depths of the heart. Where does ikhlas come? It comes into the heart. So what is the message? Subhanallah. The Prophet ﷺ said that these 3 elements after salah, you must do what? These are so important, these things. Aina, ask Allah for help for these 3 elements to come into your life, that Allah help me so I can practice these 3 elements in my life and become successful. What are those 3 things? This is called tazkiyah, cleansing of the heart, purification of the heart, and purification of the nafs. This is tazkiyah. Tazkiyah is rectification of the heart and rectification of the nafs. So to ask for these 3 things, we have to do dua. Do you understand what is this dua now? The meaning of the dua is not this, my friends. That's Allah, save me from the fire of hell. Allah will say, oh, I've saved you. Oh Allah, take me to Jannah. Allah will say that I'll give you Jannah. We think that this is dua. Just making a simple request. The status and level of dua is somewhere else. Listen clearly. I'll give you examples sometimes. That you do dua, Allah, give me a son. Will a son come? He'll come to you. You go home and the son will be sat there. Assalamu alaikum, dad. No, this will not occur. The son, to have a son, you will have to get married. You'll have to perform the nikah. You'll have to have a wife. And you'll have to have a relationship with your wife. When you do these 3 things, then what will you do? Then after that, you can do the dua to Allah. That Allah, please give me a son. Allah, please give me a son. And this is cool, asking help for the son. Through which? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here Allah ta'ala says, dhikr, shukr, and ikhlas, sincerity. So Allah says, these 3 factors, you have to make effort first to attain this, which is called tazkiyah, purification. So Allah says, you have to do purification. You have to embark on the subject of tazkiyah. You have to follow tariqah. You have to follow tazkiyah. You have to find a sheikh. You have to find a teacher. You have to do dhikr, and you have to be grateful, have shukr, and you have to have ikhlas, and you have to make effort on these points. And when you start making the effort, then after that, aina, then ask Allah for help. Allah, give me success. Allah, give me success. So this is indirectly proven, made clear, very clearly. The Prophet ﷺ has made it clearly that for every mu'min and mu'mina, it is lazim, essential, compulsory for each and every one of us that we follow the path of tazkiyah. The subject of tazkiyah is lazim on us just like everything else. And if we don't do this, then in akhirah, we cannot be successful. So for this, there are 3 things that the Prophet ﷺ said in this hadith for tafsiyah qalb and tafsiyah nafs. Tazkiyah qalb, tazkiyah nafs. If I want my nafs to be pure, and tafsiyah qalb, I want my heart to be pure from dirty things and pure things. When I pray salah, I don't want impure thoughts. When I pray salah, I don't want whispering. When I pray salah, I pray salah for the sake of Allah. And not just praying salah is not good enough. On its own, those salah could be thrown back in our face. Allah Ta'ala can throw the salah back in our face. And there could be pride in my salah. There could be riyah showing off. Allah says, I want such a salah. There's no riyah, no takabbur, no pride, no dunya, nothing. Rather, such sincerity, Allah Ta'ala says, I want in your salah. That I've given you the criteria of success. That in the final prostration of your salah, you have reached to the station of mi'raj. This is the heart of salah. Is our salah like this? That we are concentrating and focusing and we are like in mi'raj? No. I say, oh, leave salah like this. Who said do this? For example, you run a shop. And today in your shop, the turnover is £10. Will you say, shut the shop down? Nobody will say, no, I'll try harder. I'll put more stock in. I'll try to make a sale. I'll put some more stock in. And I can put another product in. So salah, the basis of salah is that we don't leave salah. For example, you get a cold. You got the flu. and you're weak. Well, you say, doctor, I cut my nose off, I got a cold, I don't need this nose, it keep pestering me, it's runny nose. Or my ears are paining. I say, oh, cut my ears off. No, you'll go for a solution. So if your salah is on this level one still, it's weak and it's ill, doesn't matter how we get salah, even if it's broken down, even if it's got raya or pride or takabbar inherent within it, then it's 100,000 times better than not reading salah at all. So remember this point. Don't leave salah. So whatever hal, whatever basis your salah is on, whatever level your salah is on, pray that salah. But what do we have to have as fikr? For example, we have worry for our shop, our business, we're trying to make money, we put stock in, we're trying to increase the turnover. So Allah Ta'ala says, have worry that Allah Ta'ala, you've brought me here. Now I need to make effort. I need to improve my salah. I need to make my salah so good, that the basis that I've been given sharia, that either you are seeing me, Allah says, or I am seeing you. This is how you should feel when you bring salah, that you should feel that either you are seeing Allah, if you can't reach to this height, then at least that you feel that Allah is watching you. Allah says, to get to this height, you have to purify your heart, clean your heart, clean your qalb, clean your batin, take all of that path. Then as long as you make effort, continuous effort, and you clean your batin, and you clean your heart and your qalb, then your salah, alhamdulillah, will reach to that high level, Allah Ta'ala says, high level. And so this is the message that we get, tazkiyah, to purify the nafs and the heart, and to get ahsan ibadah. We're doing dua, Allah, we want ikhlas and sincerity in our salah, in our ibadah, which so that it's solely for your sake. That if I get such a fast or hajj, that is solely for Allah's sake, so that Allah Ta'ala can accept it. So that struggle and that effort is tazkiyah, is tariqah. And these are the usul, the principles that are said in the hadith. So nobody can say, oh, I prayed salah and that's enough. No. This is not success. And this is not the solution. When you pray salah, then is your salah on that level that will Allah Ta'ala accept it? Oh no, Allah is ghafur rahim. Allah says, I've given you the method that your salah is wrong. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said himself that what type of salah did you pray? Pray the salah again. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is this no hadith? He prayed again second time. Then Rasulullah said to the Sahabi, read again. So yaqeen here is, if your salah is not correct, you must correct it. Improve it. If your ibadah is not correct, improve it. If there is dirt and impurity in your batin, you have to purify it. And this will be purified when we do dhikr and we get to that feeling. We do the dhikr of Allah, kathiran, kathiran. We clean our hearts, alhamdulillah. Then the dirt will start to come out from within. And if the dirt and impurity comes out of our soul, our batin, our hearts, then our salah will be correct. Look, the dhakir, his salah is unique. The dhakir, his amal, is different. The dhakir, his ibadah, his worship, his salah is unique, distinct. Because there's depth of Allah's love in the heart. And lilayat, he's got a connection with Allah, and there's nur. And if in that salah there's nur and light, then when you do dua, then Allah Ta'ala will listen to the dua, to the prayer. And there's qurb and there's nearness to Allah at that time. Because this is the first stage, salah. And then make your salah better, improve it and take it to that level, to the maqam of ihsan. If we stop in the first level, then you're cool, you've cooled down and you've not made effort. Allah Ta'ala says Islam and deen is the name of effort, and the effort of Islam is that as long as you've got breath, if breath has not left your body and you're living, you're alive, if we don't die until that time, we need to make effort, mehna. And to this point, hatta atina al-yaqeen. And if a person doesn't die, he's alive, then he should stay in the path of mujahid. He should be making struggle and striving. Oh, now I pray salah, I'm fine. Oh, I do other ibadah, I remember Allah, kept fast in Ramadan. No, we need to make effort, improve our character, our heart. What fast have I kept? How did I do hajj? And how much depth and passion of Allah's love was in my heart at that time? So we have to prepare ourselves, and this is called tazkiyah. The meaning of tazkiyah isn't that you become a pious person, wali Allah, you start to see dreams, you become a peer and this and that. No, tazkiyah has no link with all of these things. So let's do dua to Allah. The Allah, this hadith that we've heard, may Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to do amal on this, to practice on this. And let's be grateful to Allah that Allah Ta'ala has put us on this path of tasawwuf, tazkiyah, and at least we've got broken down deeds. We have a desire to do dhikr, to clean our hearts, but we need istiqamah and steadfastness in this, bit of determination, bit of courage. And these three factors, the four usul, we have to follow these usul, put them in front of us, the principles, and try to succeed on the path of tariqah. Wa akhru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.